podcast. And yeah, welcome to the recording of today's live podcast, right? If you're watching this on YouTube, I hope that you have a better experience. I can see that my settings are just not working great today. And if you're listening to this on any podcast channel, it should be sounding just great. So welcome to the show. If you're listening to this on the podcast channel, welcome to Not a UX Designer. This is a podcast by Do Better UX, which is where we are streaming right now. So if you would like to see the live version of this, check it out over on YouTube. We have other really cool, you know, topics and things that we speak to on live streams that we might not necessarily have here on the podcast. Cool. So having said that, let me calm the music down a little bit, at least in my monitors, in my headphones, and you know, at least have something for the live stream, right? I think for the podcast we can edit that and, you know, add something, you know, post in production. Anyway, too much bubbling today. I think it's just, you know, the nervousness of monitoring my stream, and it's not working the way that I wanted it to work. And speaking about tech and not working, there is something that is really big right now that I want to talk about, and that is we are in the tech season, right? Super exciting time, at least for me, where all the companies, well, at least the big companies, come up with, you know, all these products, almost like they've timed each other to, you know, release things within this time of the year, this, you know, meat part time of the year. So far we've seen stuff from Google, stuff from Microsoft. Google has just had their I/O and their build conferences or events rather, and we've seen some really cool, interesting stuff coming out of there, right? We've also seen Microsoft over the past month really just splattering the world with, you know, AI and Copilot and Bing Chat, etc., etc. We've seen some stuff from Nvidia, we've seen some stuff from Sony coming out, but I'm really interested in three main companies that I want to talk to today, and that is Google, Microsoft, and Apple. And the reason why I want to talk about this main companies is that I think these are the biggest companies that actually influence our actual day-to-day digital consumption, right? This could be, you know, just consuming entertainment off the internet, or looking up things, or doing our work day-to-day, especially Microsoft, right? And they have been on this AI bandwagon, and I want to talk about AI, and please bear with me. I know the past live streams and the past conversations, probably on the podcast as well, have been around AI, but I want to talk about the tech season that we are in, these main three companies, how they are affecting and shaping the future, and what it is that we can actually do as UX designers, product designers, help get to, you know, the face and the surface of all this, and make something out of it as it is fresh off the press, right? So let me start with Google. So we've seen that Google's Bard, rather, and some of the things that Google has been working on, is that there's a lot that they've been working on, right? There is actually a meme out there currently where we see, you know, Google, I think they said like AI 150 something times within their keynote, right? And we see this because they are really pushing that AI tone, right? After they had been beaten to the fight by Microsoft with ChatGPT, everyone was using it. It became a famous tool, and Microsoft said it's, you know, working on Copilot, which is basically putting this ChatGPT AI component within the Microsoft suite itself, you know, in your PowerPoint, in your Excel, and all of those things. And I think this is just Google's way of, you know, kind of like responding, right, to what is coming out of this space. This is Google's way of really, you know, flexing what they've been doing over the past decade, right? As they say that they've been always an AI company first, and they've always kind of like looked at AI over the past decade. And honestly speaking, we've seen some really great stuff coming out of Google, right? We've seen AI voice assistants coming out, you know, probably like 2-3 years ago. We've seen voice assistants that can, you know, call for you, interact with real human beings on, you know, phones. And we've seen a lot of demos that, you know, speak to AI, machine learning, and, you know, generative AI as well, right? But not as hyped up as we had seen it with Microsoft and when ChatGPT was released, right? So I think what really happened there with Google is that they haven't released and unleashed, you know, these AI products into the world, made them publicly open and, you know, kind of like available. And I kind of get it. We're working on new technology that is, you know, really unknown to a lot of people. It's on the brink of changing the world, and they are taking a very, you know, a lot of caution in how they bring this into the market, right? There's a lot of safety and security concerns. I think we've seen a lot of image generation and voice generation AI tools out there that are coming, you know, and really causing havoc when it comes to copyright laws and, you know, passing around wrong information. And we're in a state right now that, you know, we cannot tell the difference between what is AI generated and what is not. And this is what Google has been working behind the scenes, you know, coming up with tools on how can we regulate this, how can we control this, and how can we kind of like, you know, identify that this information or images or whatever it is, it's actually AI generated. And this is the approach that they've been taking, and I think it is a responsible approach. I do feel, however, that they are kind of like giving away that approach just a little bit, just a tad bit, right? And this is because of the pressure that they are getting, right, from the market, from basically Microsoft and ChatGPT and all of the ChatGPT, you know, kind of like children and things that have sprouted out of that space, right? And this is the importance of, you know, competition in the market and also the dangers of it. We are seeing it, you know, playing out, you know, right in front of us, right? And I hope that the tools that Google has put in place really, you know, help kind of still govern some of those elements and components and things like that, right? So I'm super interested to see where, you know, as more and more countries and more people get access to the smart tools that, you know, Google is working on, and not only Bard. I'm going to speak about Bard in a minute, right? I hope that, you know, we kind of like start seeing more and more things that are coming out of that space. And we've seen across the board, well, at least between Microsoft and Google, that they have released tools for developers to be able to interact with these AI platforms and kind of like, you know, make their own things on top of them, right? So super keen to see what comes out of that space, especially from the Google space. I think we've seen a lot of ChatGPT backed apps, right? And I think the biggest thing around Bard is really the ability to search the internet and being able to give you facts right away, and that not being behind some sort of paywall like we get with ChatGPT, because with ChatGPT, if you want to get the latest version, that you have access to the internet, then you have to pay on the plus version, which is a good model. They are making money out of it. But we've seen with Bard that, you know, we can actually access the internet and kind of like use this conversational interface to be able to generate results with latest code, latest facts, really scouring on the internet and just giving us, you know, the latest view of what we are asking about. And I think that is one big game changer that we're going to see from Bard, especially when it comes to building tools and applications that, you know, you can feed it data and, you know, people can overlay different questions around it. Let me proceed on to the next company, which is Microsoft. Now, Microsoft is basically turning into an AI operating system. That is kind of like where they're going. They are looking at the Microsoft operating system as a canvas, as they say in their own words, and they want to use this canvas to basically use it as an AI platform, so the AI can have access to your documents, your workflows, etc., etc. And it's much easier to just, you know, kind of like ask it questions that are based on your data, because it's already embedded within within your operating system already, right? Instead of like Bard kind of like looking at the internet and scouring over the internet and, you know, giving you results like that, I think Microsoft has got a really big play when it comes to productivity and being able to bring more people to their Microsoft suites, right? Now, we're also seeing Google playing in this space where they have introduced AI into their Google suite, you know, their Sheets, their PowerPoint equivalent, which is Slides, and other tools, right? And they are bringing and rolling that out as probably at the same pace as we'll see Microsoft Copilot come to life, right? And the interesting part about the Microsoft component is that it's sitting in your operating system and it kind of like knows everything that is happening in your system, can help you optimize your system, it can help you configure stuff, it can, you know, kind of like basically help you navigate the computer. So if you think about people who don't have who are not quite as literate in, you know, computer skills and how to navigate control panels and those type of things, if they understand what they actually need to do, they could just ask Microsoft Copilot to be able to do this thing for them, right? And they'll be able to work on it and do it without, you know, kind of like calling any geek squad or any technical support, which is a great thing to do. So we see that Microsoft and Google are focusing really tightly on productivity, day-to-day things, things like, you know, image generation, PowerPoints, creating presentations, etc., right? Which is super cool stuff. And I'm excited to see that really, right? And I want to see more of it. I'm keen to see that. And I really want to see more of it and how this will improve our day-to-day life and hopefully bring us closer to a four-day working week without, you know, compromises, because we'll be able to do our work in half of the time, right? Well, at least that's how it looks like and feels like. I wonder how far it will go, though. Will we get to a point where, you know, my AI is just speaking to, you know, my colleague's AI, for example, and, you know, we're not even speaking to each other anymore, and it's just the AI speaking and answering each other over emails or whatever it is, if you can embed it in Slack. Interested to see how that is going to turn out. But I've seen a lot of potential in things like, you know, clearing up your inbox, figuring out what are the action points in your emails and things like that, right? So super beneficial stuff. crazy interesting, and I feel so blessed to be alive at this opportunity, right, that is happening right now. I think it's a technological evolution like no other that we have not seen and will probably not see once it has evolved, right? Like, we have seen the internet come to life. It's kind of like having your first mobile phone right now, right? And we just don't know the possibilities. If you think about the first mobile phones and where we are with smartphones right now, right? It's like light years apart. So having said that about Microsoft, the fact that, you know, it really helps you navigate your computer, kind of like knows your whole system, and, you know, it really becomes an AI operating system that goes through your files and all of those things, right? Now, we know with Google and Microsoft, especially Bing, right? Those are two companies that are basically based on advertising models, and there is a lot of concern about the sensitivity of the data that these systems currently have right now. I've even had this when I've been trying out ChatGPT and things like that, that I don't want to use it for any client work or any personal information, because I don't know where the data is being processed and what happens to it after that, right? And what do they use this data for, whether it, you know, goes back to into the learning model and kind of, you know, gets regenerated, right? So I'm worried about the privacy concerns. I'm worried about the data use, especially in the case of Google, right? We know that they use the data for marketing purposes. Bing, same thing. That's why they want this thing there. And you can tell that they are trying to retain the conversation around advertisers, because if you look at the Google keynote that they gave, I'm not sure if it was part of the I.O. Event or it was part of the Build event, but they basically presented how all this ties up still with, you know, kind of like clicking links, because the results still kind of like give you the references of the links where this AI is generating this information from. So that is one question that I had very early on. I'm like, okay, with ChatGPT, how are they going to do this, right? How is Google going to implement this? There is some way that they still need to get people to click on links, go to websites, right? And I don't know if there will be a new payment model with advertisers getting their links, you know, kind of like being shown in your results, right? And if this will actually affect the quality of your results, right? If they are going to be based on paying customers rather than just the open web, right? Something to think about there. A lot to think about in this one, right? So there is a lot of risk. Myself, I feel I have felt ever the start of this AI evolution, that, you know, just inputting data, right? We've seen this, right, with image generators, right, that use certain styles of famous artists. You know, where does the credit go, right? When an AI generates an image with a kind of like style of a famous artist, right? And those conversations are heated up right now. They're still going. I think there's a lot of governance legislation and just, you know, kind of a lot of control that has to be built around these tools and how we use them, right? Talking about privacy is a great segue to the third company that I want to speak to, and I'm guessing that you already know that it is Apple. But before I jump into that, I want to introduce you and invite you over to the Do Better UX Design community on our LinkedIn group. If you just come on LinkedIn, look up Do Better UX Community, you'll be able to find it. Here we are nurturing a UX community that basically shares information and knowledge around topics like I am speaking about today, and you know, other career topics as well. Sometimes it's not even about UX design, it's just about career growth. And that is what Do Better UX is really about. So if you want to become a bigger part of the community, check out our website, dobetterux.com. You can, you know, stay up to date with our podcast, what we are releasing there. You can stay up to date with our blog posts, as well as our weekly newsletter, where we give you highlights and snippets of things that we found super interesting that we spoke about on the podcast, on the live streams, and in our posts. That way you kind of like get one little packaged set of very interesting insights that I would have basically picked up that week, spoke about, and packaged for you to consume. So it's a curated list of things that you get every week, basically. So check out the website, dobetterux.com, join the newsletter, join the podcast. I don't know if you can join the podcast, but stay up to date that way. But most importantly, I'd like to see you in our LinkedIn group, which is called Do Better UX Community. So yeah, looking forward to chatting with you there. Let me go back now to Apple, which is the third company that I want to talk about within this AI space. Now, a lot of people will be like, what the hell? We haven't seen Apple do anything within the AI space for a very long time. And I think maybe people might just be a little bit tone deaf when it comes to Apple's language. And I think Apple is actually speaking to AI in a much more human tone, right? And you'll never hear Apple talking about AI, referencing it to as AI, right? They always call it machine learning, and their AI division is called the machine learning division, et cetera, et cetera. They've got super advanced machine learning capabilities on their new M chips, M1, the M2 Max Pros, you know, what have you. And they've actually been working on a lot of AI within the user experience. Now, if you think about it, the term AI is it's not a everyday used general term. Now, it might become popular, like Googling or whatever it is. But currently, if you look about it, if you tell someone that this is a smart feature or an intelligent feature, which is what Apple does, people have got a chance of understanding that a little bit more than, you know, telling them then that this is an AI feature, right? So Apple uses different language when it comes to the AI space, and maybe that's why people might think that it's not big onto AI. But if you listen to any of their keynotes over the past, you know, 3 years, they have mentioned machine learning so many times, right? And I think the biggest difference between Apple and versus Microsoft and Google is the focus around privacy and the focus around building the machine learning capability on device, right? Without having to use cloud, you know, sending this data to the cloud all the time and having it being processed in the data and then, you know, being brought back to your device as a response. And we've seen this with Siri. We've seen the benefits and the negatives that it comes with, right? Now, Siri's experience has not been the greatest experience because of the limitations of it not actually being able to get information from the internet and feed it back to you, or send your information to the internet and process it there. But we've seen a lot of intelligent features that Apple has been bringing That is being rumored to come, right? So we've seen things like image detection. So if you take a photo with your iPhone, whether of a dog, of an animal, or of a plant, you'll see a little icon that has got little shiny stars. I'm going to come to the shiny stars in a minute. That has got little shiny stars to show you that that is an intelligent, there's, you know, some intelligent identification that is happening in there. And when you click on it, it will, you know, pop up to, you know, tell you that it's a plant or an animal or a dog or whatever that has been identified, and you can search it and it can kind of, you know, give you internet results based on that image. We've also seen some really cool things that they've come up with recently, like, you know, isolating you from the background, and, you know, just cleaning up pictures as a whole, right? And all this is machine learning. It's basically AI smart features, right? And sometimes I think that people are kind of, you know, getting hyped up about, you know, the word AI, right? And kind of moving away from what would call smart features, you know, back in the day. I think there is a huge shift in terminology, and that is, you know, basically because of the buzzword, right, that we have now. And that is the space that we are in. And talking about the little star thing, who came up with the concept that we should have that little star icon? Everyone is doing it. Microsoft, Google, even Apple has got, you know, a little information sign with, like, you know, three little stars on it. Does that mean smart? Does that mean intelligent? Does that mean magical? Right? What does that mean? If you're a UX designer, UI designer listening to this, could you have used something different? What would you have used to show that this is an AI feature, a smart feature within your user interface? Now, continuing with the conversation around Apple, we are seeing a huge focus of their machine learning or AI being based around lifestyle improvements and now coming up in health improvements as well. So we've seen a lot of machine learning being used in devices like the Apple Watch to be able to dictate crashes, car crashes, you know, when a person falls, etc., etc., using the you know, sensors within the watch itself. And we've seen Apple really focusing on this lifestyle type of things, and I think we are going to see more and more of those things, you know, coming out of Apple. Rumored to come is, well, not rumored to come, almost confirmed, right? Everybody's talking about it. I think, you know, kind of seeing Apple acquiring companies around that, putting them in their machine learning department. And we will be seeing a feature coming up where you can basically voice train your device so that when you lose your voice or lose your speech, that device can basically kind of, you know, speak in your tone, right? And this will be useful in many different ways for people with speech who are speech impaired and, you know, who would need this type of features, right? And that's where we're kind of seeing Apple focusing. So it's definitely focusing more on privacy, as we have always seen Apple do, and it's definitely focusing more on lifestyle improvements, unlike, you know, your day-to-day productivity, as we are seeing with Google and Microsoft. And I think this has something to do with the nature of the companies right now. If you look at Google and Microsoft, there are tools that are really at the core of your workday. There are tools that you would use to get stuff done, right? Whether in a business, whether in school, or whatever it is. And when you look at Apple products, they're your day-to-day products. kind of like designed for everyone to use them, from the kid in your house to the, you know, oldest adult in your house, right? Different computer competencies, everything is simple to use. And I think they're really focusing on, you know, day-to-day health things, et cetera, because it's really more of a lifestyle company, right? Than it is a tech company, to be honest, right? So super interesting to see the contrast between Google and Microsoft on one side and Apple's focus on the other side. Now, a lot of people might think that, you know, Apple is late to the party. They're not making, you know, quite a big fuss about it. But I would say that Apple has already embedded a lot of AI and machine learning within its devices. We're seeing Google starting to do this as well, releasing its own devices focusing on building chips that can, you know, do more machine learning processing on device. That way they can have really powerful devices that can do machine learning on device without having to go to the cloud, improving on that privacy aspect, right? So, yeah, what do you guys think about the things that have been coming out of these companies over the past few months? How do you see these shaping not only how you work, but the products that you are currently building or working on? Are you thinking of embedding AI into your product design? Do you even know where to start, right? Are there some of the topics that you would like us to have here on the podcast? Super interested to know of all those things. So inviting you again to the Do Better US community group on LinkedIn. If you can comment on the platform that you are on listening to the podcast or watching it on YouTube, please feel free to let me know what you guys think about the latest advancements in AI and how they impact your career as a UX designer, product owner, whichever space that you work within, within this product UX design space. So yeah, that's it from me. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, for watching it on YouTube. And until the next one, I'm out.